Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner this morning. As we come to you live and live in color each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kick Country. And this program is made possible through the auspices of and support of the Clay County Chamber, the three-star program, and all of the good merchants here and folks in and around the county that buy ad spots on here. So we'd like to encourage everyone to patronize those folks and quit taking all your money to cook. We'll spend part of it here in Clay County. And with that little bit, like I said, it's a pleasure once again to be here. You can sit back, and I know you've already had your first cup of coffee, but and you might want to get on the party line and call your neighbors and tell them to tune us in. And if they can't do that, tell them to tune in this evening at 6 o'clock when we'll have a rebroadcast. And a few days after the broadcast, they'll have it streamed on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper site. So you've got all kinds of times to listen to this very, very interesting show that we have this morning and all other mornings. I have got Mr. Nick Patterson here this morning. We may talk a little bit about corn growing here in a few minutes. I know he is, his wife April was going to come by, but she gets kind of busy sometimes, so I think she appointed him to come over and join us this morning. And then the second half of the show, I got Miss Liz Strong, who is a kind of a local songwriter, singer. She and her brother Joe Crawford from up in Monroe County do a little bit of performing at different places. She's going to talk about, I know she's written hundreds of poems and songs and things, and going to talk about how she goes about writing those, maybe a little bit of her growing up out in the Union Hill area. And so I'm sure she might have some interesting conversation for us. And let's see, I don't know where we got any major events going on right now. Any major events out at the farm or anything coming up anytime soon?
No, sir, not really anytime soon. Of course, we had our spring barn sale a couple weeks ago, and we have the fall one that'll be coming up in October. But we have some other events and stuff that people have, you know, rented out their facility for.
So. There's a walk coming up in there.
We do have the 5K in memory of Doug that we do every year, and this is the first year it's going to be on the farm. So normally I'm used to it being around various parts of the county here, but we're actually going to have it out there on the farm this time, and it is in September.
I think it may be the same morning we have our car show, maybe the last Saturday in September.
That seems right, Thomas. I don't have, I was trying to see if I had that in my calendar, and I haven't put it in there yet, but it's in, we have some signs, I know that we've been working on getting some signs posted around the county, and you can actually go online to register if you want to participate in the running part. And
now, you know what that thing is, that's not a phone. That's a husband tracker.
Well, she's probably listening on the radio, so she knows I at least made it here, Thomas, so that's good.
All right. Well, with that, I tell you, we'll take a little short break, work in a few words from our sponsors, and come back. And like I said, we may talk a little bit about some corn farming.
That's fine. We can talk about whatever you want to. Yes, sir.
And we may wander off, but we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Back here, everyone. As I said, I've got Nick Patterson here. Now, of course, Nick is... He's one of our educated farmers, I guess we would call him. I know he has a degree and just all kinds of fancy papers probably hanging on the wall.
I do, yes, sir. Yeah.
But you're in Clay County. He is a farmer, and we were just kind of talking, reminiscing there of the days. And I know that Randy chimed in a little too. We were talking about, you know, just a little bit of the process of the, we see the cornfields now, and I know driving over toward the TV, sometimes you see the field where it's laid off, and all you see is little scratches on top of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks later, you look out, and there's corn popped up all over that. And we were talking about, you know, how much different that was from the time when, myself personally, when growing up, when you had, the process of just getting ready to put the corn out, you went out and turned the cover crop in and used the paramules and an old disc and kind of worked it down a little bit, and then took the gopher plow and plowed a fur and took a one-row planter and went through there, and sometimes it took a week or two to get a few acres of corn out. That's a little bit different process now, isn't it?
It is, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, and amazingly, you know, we're not really... In the history of mankind, I guess you'd say, we're really not that far from that. I mean, you know, my great grandfather on the farm that I grew up in Alabama, he would have had all of those same tools, and he actually bought the first rubber tired tractor in that area in 1949. So, you know,
you remember what brand it might have been?
It was a Super C farm all, and it had it had the quick attach system on it. It had the corn plows on the front where they would plow the corn. It had the quick attach sweeps on the back. It had a 4-foot bush hog and a little disc that he bought all as a package.
You know, I do remember the farm hogs, that quick attach wasn't really that quick attach.
It was not quick attach. No, I you know, and even growing up myself, our farm in Alabama is mostly for cattle. But we always grew a few acres of corn for silage, for winter feed. And, you know, we didn't use some of the technology that's available now as far as the chemicals. We would plow a cover crop under disc, of course, with tractors, and then we would go out and I use that same Super C, and I'd plow between all the corn rows. And, we do things a little bit more different now. You know, we have science has been a huge proponent in that as far as developing tools that farmers have, as far as really the biggest thing is just weed control and being able to allow the crop that you're wanting to grow to thrive. And so particularly with Roundup and some of the other chemicals that we have really allowed us to be able just to go in and we can no-till into the ground, so our planters will go through without disking, without chisel plowing or anything, will put the seed right in the trench that it's supposed to go, and yeah, we can cover several acres in a day now.
It doesn't take very long.
It does not.
You know, and I can remember, like I said, those Super Seeds, how big an advancement that I thought it was when somebody went, they finally got a Ford or Ferguson, Fordson, those type things, and it had the 3-point hitch on the back of it.
Yeah.
And I think somebody finally figured out that the farmers were smart enough to look at the tires and see what they were plowing instead of having to see the plow.
Right.
With the old Super, you could look down and see where they were plowing.
Yeah.
And you were actually behind the plows.
You were behind the plows, and particularly in you definitely didn't want to get the tricycle tractors on too much of a side of a hill, or else you went for a ride.
You know, I think that's why most folks around here went to the Y.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's the same way. You know, the same thing happened there in Alabama, and even the later models of the farm models, so the MTAs. And even some of the Super M's and such, they started making the wide wheel attachments that you could retrofit onto some of those tractors or buy outright with the wide fronts.
You know, and I remember years and years ago that an old crawler tractor that my dad had around the sawmill, it was an old gasoline engine crawler. And I know there was a few of John Deere, some of those. There were some of those that the folks around here, the farmers, would use to pull a bog or something on the big steep hill.
They were low to the ground, put a lot of power out to those tracks, and could pull bigger implements, not spin down as much, right?
And I know now that same general thing is still there now. I know we have those tractors with the, instead of steel tracks, they've got rubber tracks.
Rubber tracks, right.
Yeah. Have you guys got any of those?
Shane does, yeah. Shane has a bigger, actually probably one of his biggest tractors is on two tracks. There are variations of them where you can get four or two, and he has one with two, and same concept. He uses it for things that require a lot of horsepower to be able to put a lot of power to the ground.
Okay, now, getting ready to plant a field of corn. I mean, really, what do you have to do really to make preparation?
You know, these days, a lot of it is a lot more computer work than you would think. And the reason I say that, so if I know that this field is going into corn, we're going to get fresh soil samples every year, so we're going to see what type of condition that the soil is in. Some fields, depending on their the crop season or whatever, we'll even soil sample like every 2 to 2.5 acres in that field. So if you have a 50-acre field, we may pull 25 different samples off of it just to see if every spot of the field is in the same shape nutrient-wise. And then if it's not, there's the technology available where we can variable rate the fertilizer out there. So basically we look and see our soil samples, see what kind of condition the field is in. We'll make the cropping plan as far as how much fertilizer the field needs, sit down and kind of budget out for that. Do specific varieties. So, just like if you go to Salina Lumber down here and you want a tomato plant, you probably got 30 different varieties you could choose from. Well, it's the same way in the corn, except for 30, we've probably got thousands. And there are some that we know works well in the area. There are some that are developed for more northern climates. There are some that are developed for more southern climates. And we're kind of in the middle, I guess you'd say. So we'll choose the variety. And then, if we know that if the field is going to corn and it was in corn the previous year, then we might want to change some of the genetics of the corn up so that it can deal with some of the diseases that may be left over from the corn stubble. If it had been in soybeans, there's different things that different varieties we may plant that do well behind soybeans instead of corn. And so there's a ton of preparation. Basically, from the time that you're in the combine harvesting the previous crop, you're already making plans for the next year.
Okay, and the fertilizer, does that go in the trench when you put the seed down?
Some of it can. Around here, the most common thing is to just broadcast it out on top of the ground.
Yeah.
Used to, everybody wanted to broadcast and then disc it in, and there's good and bad with that. A lot of our fertilizers now have polymer coatings and stuff that are put on them that allow them to not wash away in rains as much or to move on the soil. They dissolve pretty quickly down into the soil, and then the little polymers and things that they put on them kind of keep them in the soil profile ready for the crop.
Okay, now that little seed you put down. One of the things I notice sometimes when I go some of the fields that you will see a little sign out there at the end of the mm-hmm. field that what's planted there.
Right.
Do you guys maybe get a little kickback for that?
We don't. No. No, not really. The fertilizing the seed companies like to put those, especially if it looks good, you know, they like to put the signs out there to let folks know what variety it is, or and you know, it's kind of like it's kind of free advertisement for that. And but no, there's not much of a kickback usually, other than, you know, I mean, any business is all about relationships. So you know, when you let them put that sign out there, they remember that and are likely to help you out.
You know, going back many years ago, many members of, especially my wife's family, actually lived and worked up in around the Tifton, Indiana area, which mm-hmm. is right in the middle of the, I guess maybe the seed corn capital
mm-hmm.
of
it
the
is.
Country. And I know that, you know, they went out and back in those, they'd hand gathered the tassels of corn,
mm-hmm.
brought it in. I guess they maybe artificially grew the corn then.
They do, and it's. Yeah, well, it's the same way now. The seed corn industry, those guys, they have the detasseling machines that go out and take the tassel off, and then they release what the tassel is, the male part of the corn plant. So they go out and release what male part they want to mix with that female that is the rest of the plant. And yeah, it's
in the field there.
We have some of that. There's a little bit of that over in West Tennessee. We've got some farmer friends that we've made throughout the last few years with our Farm Bureau involvement and such, that they do some seed corn and some seed beans, and that's a much more stringent process than what we're doing, you know, just with field corn here. But yeah, it's a integral part. And really what's amazing is, so if those guys over there don't have a good year, that affects your seed corn varieties for the next year that you can or cannot get. So.
Okay, let's take a little short break here.
All right.
We're just getting interesting.
All right, yeah.
We're going to talk into what goes into getting one of them little grains of corn.
We'll be
right back in a minute. Yeah, you know, that's...
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Nick, I know we were talking about, you know, about the corn, and then we got back to the seed, the seed corn itself. I'm sure that, I know, it, just from what little bit I know, it's amazing what it takes to get that little grain of corn, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
You know, go ahead. I'm
sure, yeah. And, you know, just as a general statement there, I think, you know, most folks, you know, even in a rural area like this, we're becoming so far removed from farming and actually what it takes to get our food on the table, that when you really just kind of stop and think about it, it's pretty daunting. But yeah, so we basically, if, you know, if we started in the spring, so most of the corn I actually planted some yesterday, but that's a little too late, but there's reasons why, I guess. But, you know, most of the corn right now has probably been in the ground a month or two, 2 months ago probably at the earliest, and the vast majority of it about a month ago. We typically try to make sure the soil temperatures are basically like 55 and rising. And because the way that the seed, when we put it into the ground, if the soils are too cold, basically the seed will just lay there and rot. It won't be able to get, it'll uptake water, but then it won't be able to run its roots down. And there are enzymes in the soil that are working at those soil temperatures that are telling the corn seed what to do. And it's just an amazing process. But, and this year, to be quite honest, it's been a little challenging because it kind of got warm a little early, and then we've had one of the mildest springs kind of on record in a while, and so some of our crops are kind of showing it now. But so we'll go in and plant, which before we plant there, when we've done all the preparation work, we'll spray for any weeds that are out there in the field to try to give the, we don't want that seed corn competing against anything else, so we want it to be the only thing that's trying to grow. We'll fertilize, then we'll let it kind of get up. We'll usually come back and do another spray there again just to kind of compete for weeds. Usually while we're trying to do any weed control products, we're also putting like foliar fertilizers out on the corn plant itself so it can uptake some fertilizer that way.
Okay, now you're looking through, you know, you've got it in the ground, and it's how many months does it take before harvest time?
Yeah, so usually we're going to plant in, say, April or May, and we're going to be harvesting that for seed corn, for the grains, usually in the months of September and October.
Okay, now, the corn that you plant, it is engineered to have a certain chemical makeup when the corn is mature. And I know you're looking, most of your corn goes for what, chicken feed?
Animal feed, animal, yeah. The vast feed. Majority here are going to be for poultry and cattle feed.
And with that, I'm sure you're looking for, when that corn matures, that it's going to have certain nutrients in it that make it a feed corn.
Right, yeah, corn is the grain itself, when we look at what in the animal ration, what it is for is energy. So it's kind of like us eating breads and that sort of thing. You know, that's energy in our diet, carbohydrates. And corn is the same way. So corn doesn't have a lot of protein. So if you and I were to try to just eat cornmeal or cornflakes or anything like that, and for our protein needs, we would be greatly disappointed at what we would look like. But that's where our livestock are really upcyclers, even of corn. So they take a low protein, high energy source and turn it into a high protein meat that we're able to consume.
Okay, and now with that, I know. There's probably experimental stations somewhere or another that will take like maybe a bag of your corn, some bags of your corn, feed it to a group of cattle in a feedlot, and see how many bushels of corn or how many pounds of corn it takes to put a pound on a cow, or to turn out a dozen more eggs or something.
Right. Yeah, and that's what University of Tennessee Extension Services have places located all throughout the state of Tennessee where, you know, they're looking at how well certain varieties yield of corn, what their nutrient values are. Going back to that one thing in particular that we look for in corn, basically is test weight. So like if I shell of a field of corn, I've got a little meter that tells me the test weight of corn, and we need it to be above 54 because that is the legal trade test weight of corn. So if it's below 54, sometimes we'll get a dock at the grain elevator where we'll sell the corn. If it's above 54, we don't really get any premium, except for we know that corn is really high quality. And basically it helps us kind of get more out of the field. The corn weighs more, so essentially it's got some more nutrients and things like that in it.
Okay, and somewhere along in the fall, and we decided that we wanted to maybe fix a some grilled some corn on the grill or something. We went out and barred maybe a dozen ears of your corn.
Mm-hmm.
It probably wouldn't taste too good for us when we put it on the grill.
Not in the fall, but you know, like if you
I mean, early on, right?
A lot of it does taste good. So our sweet corn varieties.
Okay, now
that's for human consumption. That's what you're going to go down here to Scott's and pick up. It's in the shuck. You got to shuck it. Those varieties are grown specifically for their sugar content.
Okay, so that seed corn is engineered to produce a grain with more sugar.
For taste.
Right.
And we figured out over time that humans like the taste of it better than we did the field corn that went for livestock. But now I have buyers that's out of the field, and it's not as sweet, but there's a just specific time in there if you pick it that there's not a ton of difference, but it doesn't last as long. So our corn that we're doing for livestock feed, it converts its sugars to starches really, really quick. So if you go out here to your sweet corn patch, it may be a week late, but it still tastes good. If you go to ours a week late, it's going to taste like starch. It's like corn starch, kind of.
That chemical process changes faster.
That plant is quickly trying to convert itself over to a starch grain, which is what we're wanting to harvest in the kernel.
Okay, now, we've got a few more minutes here. Well, let's talk about when the crop's all done. Now what's up?
Yeah, so, you know, if we've harvested in September and October, we've either put the grain in, of course, the large grain bins like you see. We'll blow them with air to kind of keep them fresh throughout the winter. Wintertime is, you know, a lot of times you're trying to haul that grain to the elevators that may need it. And that is a lot of times whenever, you know, we've priced the grain to sell it because we know that it'll kind of be in the bin. There's lots of different ways that you can price it. You can just take it straight to a grain elevator and tell me what will you give me for it today, and that would be called the cash price. Then we also have options of we have the corn futures market, which is what gets a lot of press, I guess, you know, like corn on the Board of Trade hit.
Yeah, we have the Chicago futures.
Right, the Chicago futures, yeah.
Sorry, man.
And really, that's what does set our corn price. So every grain elevator takes that futures price that's published from the Chicago Board of Trade, and then they have what's called a local basis. So if they're really in need of corn, it may be a positive basis. They may tell you, well, I'll give you 10 cents over the futures today for your corn. And, you know, actually one of the best times to sell corn, if you have it, will be about in the months of late June and July, because everybody has sold all their corn from the previous year, and there'll be a little bit of a lull in there between when the new crop will be coming in. And so people really get kind of aggressive trying to find corn sometimes like that.
Okay, and I do know that I'm sure you guys have some contracts with some of the feed folks,
mm-hmm.
Where you know exactly what you're going to get out
right.
of that amount of corn. And then, like you said, there's a little part there that you can kind of gamble with,
mm-hmm.
and depend on maybe the futures market going up by, say, 25% from the time you,
mm-hmm.
you contracted. And
I do mine in thirds.
But you want to make sure you've contracted enough to
right.
where you stay above that line of red and black.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So typically I do it in thirds. I look at, okay, I'm going to sell a third right off of the combine without a contract. I try to contract about a third of my production at a price that I think is good or is profitable. And then I usually try to put about a third in the grain bins and just store it to essentially gamble with. You know, if the market goes up, then great. But sometimes it goes down, and we wish we would have sold it earlier. So.
And then that year when it goes out of sight up, it's in. Golly, why didn't I? Wait?
Yeah, why didn't I hold everything and put it in the bin, right? Yeah.
Well, Nick, it has been a pleasure this morning having you. Did a great job, because you didn't really have any idea where I was going to send you this morning, did you?
That's all right. That's all right.
And I know that next time we bring you back, we bring April back, we're going to talk about the Echo folks.
Sure.
And I know that my brother-in-law had built one of the Echo houses, and he says the whole idea to put them together is the log house.
They are. Yeah, we're, you know, from our family's perspective, it's just awesome for us to be able to use the building down there and to get some jobs back into the county, particularly into Hermitage Springs there, where for many years people worked at that Oshkosh building.
And, right.
So it looks a lot different in there now than it did when it was a garment factory, but we're back making products that we can ship all over the country from right here in Clay County.
Well, like I said, pleasure having you here this morning.
All right, thank you, Tom.
Get you guys back again. It's been a while this time before we
have
been able to catch where you were not in meetings and you're working too hard.
Well, we try. We do.
You need to take off about 30 minutes every so often. Come join us.
We will. You just let us know when.
All right. It's been a pleasure, and thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Tom.
We're going to take a little break. Before we do, I'm going to read the birthdays off, and then Liz is going to come in and join us over at the microphone. And I've got him. The birthday for today, beginning with, and then an anniversary to begin with. Ronnie and Don Dale celebrate the birthday, and I think Don also or an anniversary on the 15th, and maybe she celebrated the birthday also. So, but we're just going to put them down one time. And then I've got Miss Donna Brown Goer, and I'm not going to give her age, but what I am going to do is let everyone know that she is closer to triple digits in her age than she was 76 years ago. So happy birthday to her. And also Taylor Strong has a birthday this week. And her grandpa, Jerry Fox, has a birthday this week. And at the toward Pine Hill, David and Carolyn Browning celebrating an anniversary. And let's see, Tiffany and Steve Brown celebrate their 32nd anniversary on the 10th. And this past week, Laney Jo Beth Watson celebrated the birthday. Paulette and Tim Scott celebrated the birthday. And an anniversary. I think theirs may have been up in the 40-year range. And we'd like to wish them a happy anniversary. Miss Sue Jolin celebrated the birthday. And also Zane Roberts, I believe his was on the 12th. And Miss Zoe Hayes today celebrated the birthday. So here toward the end of the show, we'll get our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system out, and we will pick out a winner today, one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over to Dairy Queen. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank Nick for coming in this morning, and I know he's fairly busy right now, and like I said, April was going to come in, and she had a last-minute appointment of some kind that came up where she had to put a fire out somewhere or another, I'm sure. But enjoyed having Nick, and great conversation. You know, we look out and see where they planted the cornfields, and you drive by, and like I said, you see a little scratch in the ground, and come back a few weeks later, and there's corn there about half knee high, and you wonder how it got there. But great information on that industry, which is a fairly important industry here in Clay County. And I know we have a number of acreage of corn being grown. But enjoyed having him with us. But now Liz Strong is with me here this morning. Liz Crawford Strong, I believe, would be the full
Crawford, yes.
And I know I told the folks, you know, that you and your brother Joe joined together and do a little music performing in different places over the years and still going strong. And
we do, and we love getting together and singing because we've done that all our life.
And that's been a fairly long and prosperous life so far. Not real long, but we're getting along.
Yeah, it's been a long life, but it's getting shorter.
Well, they keep saying that. But, and I know, of course, I think maybe the first time I ever met Liz was, golly, back about 1963 or 4, somewhere along in there. And we were both working at the Hayes Manufacturing over in Tompkinsville, and we rode with Betty Webb, maybe off of P. Ridge up to...
No, we rode with
May Smith. Oh, rode with my Aunt May, pardon, and met her back then a few years ago. She was a young married lady with a young child and working in the factory, and she was like so many of the ladies in those days. You know, Liz's mother, my mother, all they worked in the house. I mean, they didn't have an outside job at Golly.
And cornfields.
Right. They worked on the farm, helping their husband to. And this came along, you know, it's something that I guess we didn't really think of then, but the woman of the house got a job down at the sewing factory here, and basically what that did, and I'm sure it did with Liz too, is it enabled the husband to keep working on the farm, keep the farm going, and it allowed her to bring in a steady check every week and help pay for that farm.
It did, and then the husband could just work on the farm, and then we'd come home and feed him of a night.
And you know, too, you know, so many of the folks then, like I said, with a steady paycheck coming in each week, it started at 45, 50 cents an hour when Oshkosh first came here, but it was something steady, and it changed like a lot of the financial things in these places where we know that we had various businesses that, well, the feed stores, all those kinds of the grocery stores and all those things, a lot of them would run what do you call it? Well, we'll run a tab that sometimes lasted for an entire year until the corn crop, the tobacco crop come in, and they got the cash and went and paid up for a year, but it allowed to keep the bills paid up and pay the farm off quicker, didn't it?
Well, we didn't do that. Mostly worked away from home, and I started out at Oshkosh at 85 cents an hour, and that was, I mean, that you could buy 85 cents an hour at that time.
Okay, and during this period of time, I know that a group of children, most of which I had in the classroom, an outstanding family, and I know that I know your grandson Will, who helps you sing a little bit every once in a while,
and can play any kind of instrument he picks up. He can. He's really good at that. And I told him I'd give him a shout out on this. So hello, Will.
Okay. And you know, and with that, you know, I know over the years, Liz, do you have any idea how many poems, songs, maybe you have put to paper over the years?
Close to 400. I've got lots and lots of gospel songs. I've got old stupid songs. I've got love songs. I've got I'm remembering my family. Lots of songs about that, and just most any kind of song you think about, I have written.
Okay, and the process of how you do you play an instrument, Liz?
No, I don't.
You know, a lot of songwriters now, they'll sit down at the piano and they'll have something up here, a little melody, and then they put words to it.
But I hum mine.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I just get an idea and just go all around it and humming a little, singing a little till I have a song. It's really simple for me. It's a gift that I'm I'm really thankful to the Lord for that gift.
Okay, that's what I think. You know, that you hear songwriters from songwriters like you, which are still maybe not fully discovered yet, to the ones that are in the, you know, they just seem like they have something in their brain that that needs putting down on paper.
It is, and it's a story. All of my songs really are a story. And when I sing them, I go back to where that all started, and it's just a process by which I can just do it.
Okay, now do you remember maybe one of the first pieces of poetry or song that you? That you wrote. Can you remember how old you were?
I was already married and had children before I started putting it down on paper. But all my life I've been a reader, and I can make a rhyme anytime, you know.
You just did rhyme anytime.
And I'm so nervous. I don't know what I'm. Hardly what I'm saying, but I can.
Well, let me ask you, can you remember maybe, you know, when you were a child younger, just going around the house humming something or singing some words, and somebody would ask you, say, well, what is that?
Always did that.
And you would say, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just there, and I could, you know, just make a song out of about anything I tried to make a song out of.
Okay, now, performing now, I think that there's a group, you have a group that you work with.
Oh, yes, we do with up in Kentucky. There's Moody Boys, and we sing with them.
Well, now, tell us who, now, don't just say the Moody Boys. Who are the Moody Boys?
Okay, now I don't know a lot about them because but the one's Joe, and one's Ned, and one is Max, and they're all talented guitar players, and two of them sing, one don't, but two of them sing, and Joe and I both love singing with them.
And now your brother Joe plays guitar.
Yes, he does.
Does he play any other instruments other than the guitar?
No, he don't play anything else. And when we were growing up, none of us played any instruments, but of course, we didn't have radio back, you know, when I was small. And we would, when it came time dark, we'd take our chairs out under the shade tree, and we'd sing till bedtime. And my daddy, he was a real good singer, and that's where we all took that from. All my brothers and sisters sang.
So you just gathered out outside in the cool and
yes,
and
because we didn't have our
entertained yourselves.
We didn't have any other entertainment, so we just made our own.
Well, did you give each other a big hand at the end of each song?
No, but if one sang better than the other, we didn't like it though.
So. You may have just explained exactly what brother and sister harmony is, because to keep harmony in the family, don't raise your voice above sissies if you want to get along with
right.
Her. Right?
That's harmony.
We've always heard that, how well, you know, sisters harmonize and things together,
yes.
And, which means one of them don't try to steal the show from the other one.
Right.
But, and, you know, with that, let me ask you this. Can you remember maybe the first radio you ever heard?
Yes, I can. My aunt had a radio. We didn't have one for years. I don't even remember when we first got our radio. But she had a radio, and we would go over to her house and listen to the Grand Ole Opry. So that was the beginning of my love of country music.
Okay, but can you remember some of the people that you listened to then?
Oh, yes. Ernest Tubb, Roy A. Cook, and all the older ones. I can't come up with the more names right now, but they...
Did your aunt have a fancy electric radio? Did she have one of the great old big ones that had batteries in it?
Battery radio. There was no electricity down there. We did at Union Hill. We walked to school. There was no buses to take us to school. We
had to walk uphill both ways.
Uphill both ways. And if we went anywhere very far, we rode on the wagon.
You know, I know at one time we had someone of the farmers that lived up the end of the road would get his wagon out, set a few chairs on it, and come down by and pick everybody up, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, no, we didn't do that, but I've done most anything, back then when we did. First radio we had a big old battery behind it, and I don't remember, but I don't know if it did or not, but it seemed like Daddy would take it somewhere and they would charge it. I can't remember how, but we run the battery down pretty often.
And I know at that same time, what about, did you have, you know, crank up Victrola?
No, we
didn't. You didn't have none of them fancy things.
No, we're too poor. We didn't have that.
I can remember those things also, and I also can remember those battery radios. I know that we had a electric Philco, I believe ours was, that we had when I was smaller.
I think it was too, but do you remember how we got the battery charged?
I can't remember that. I do know that they had to be charged ever so often.
They did, but I don't know how we did it.
And I can remember my great-grandpa McLaren had one of those, and I can't remember if my grandpa did or not, but I know my great-grandpa had one of them. Great, great big box.
Big box. Yeah.
Because it was all battery.
Uh-huh.
And those things would last a pretty good while. And like I said, it's kind of like the first TVs when they came around. Folks would gather in at someone who had the radio on Saturday night. All the neighbors and friends that didn't have radios, they'd all come to your house and sit down and listen to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah. That was the good old days to me. That's when family was family, and we got together all the time with our neighbors. We would go to some neighbor's house on one night, and then they'd come to our house the next night, and we just had a good time.
Of course, I remember my grandparents that had a radio ritual when I was smaller of the radio soap operas that were on the radio. All the way back to Lum and Abner, Just Plain Bill, Amos and Andy.
Yes.
I mean, the Lone Ranger. And, you know, I think that had something to do with developing some of the, I guess, some of the songwriters and things like that, the older ones, that when you listened to something on the radio, your mind had to draw a picture of what was going on.
Right.
And now everything is thrown right at you. You don't have to think about it.
No, you don't. But when I write a song, I can see I'm there wherever that originated. I write about my grandpa and my grandma and my daddy and mama, and just those songs really mean something to me.
Okay, your favorite?
I guess it's Overalls. I wrote about my granny. Meeting her granny Mandy met Pa Jake, and he wore overalls, and they fell in love, and she patched his overalls and worked beside him, you know, and that's one of my favorites.
So it kind of sounds like I'm sure you hadn't written any of the modern
No, I don't get into that. I can't. I'm just so country that country's all I.
Okay, and let me add. Lately, have you been jotting some things down lately?
I have. I've got I guess 10 or 12 that I have written lately.
You didn't bring any of them with you, though.
I didn't bring any of them with me, but one that I really like. It's a patriotic song. It's about freedom and who was it? Said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Nathan Hutt. Who was it? Anyhow, in my song, for liberty and freedom, we hear their voices ring. For liberty and freedom, with every breath. For liberty and freedom, we hear our Father say, give me liberty and freedom or give me death. And it's just a really catchy tune, and it's one, I love it.
Okay, now, this education-wise, Tell us a little bit. I mean, you're educated. You talked about, the one-room school.
I finished the eighth grade. But then I went, when I was 51, I got my GED. But I just went to the eighth grade. Back then, it didn't seem important to go any further than the eighth grade because, I wasn't going to do anything. I didn't know how to do, how to do anything other than just what I was used to. So it just didn't seem important. But then later I decided that I needed to get my GED, so I did.
And how many children did you have then that were already high school graduates? Maybe some of them graduated from college yet?
All six of them from high school, and some of them from college had graduated then. And I thought, I'm not sure I can do it this, but I'm going to try it anyway. And so Lisa and Joyce helped me, and I passed with flying colors.
Okay, let's take a little short break. And we'll be back just in a minute. I've got a couple more questions I want to ask you about some things, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposits. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Liz is here. We have kind of wandered up and down. Something that I know that my mother never worked out of the home. I know she attempted a time or two to get a job in the sewing factory. I worked there for, 6 or 8 months, like I said, the same place where Liz did. And, being a country gal, and then I guess... you were probably, 26, 27 years old?
21.
Oh, you was 20 when you went in the factory. So you'd worked there a while when I started working.
Oh, yes. I started at Oshkosh when I was 21.
What did you think when you walked into that place down there?
It just floored me. I was almost afraid to look around. It was so... I mean, I was never used to anything like that, but I soon adapted to it, and I worked 40 years in the factory, so I done pretty good.
Okay, now, see, and the big difference here, I know that you grew up probably making shirts, making clothes.
Yes.
From getting a pattern and
yes.
Going to the store and get a pattern, cut the pattern out and stick it to cloth, and then
yes.
Cut the cloth to match the pattern, and made an entire shirt. But there, that was a... this was assembly line, wasn't it? It was something
yes.
totally different.
Yes. I trimmed and inspected at Oshkosh. I didn't sew, but the other places I did sew. But I made my children's dresses, too, when they went to school. I had a lot of experience at sewing.
Okay, now, with that, you know, that was no different because it was, you would, like I said, that's what I did. I did trim and inspect over there, I think. And I think it was all men by that time. They decided that was a little bit tough for the female population to flip those things inside out and stuff.
Yes.
And then there, now what was your job there? I know you didn't stay on trim and inspect forever.
No, I said zippers. I was a zipper setter in pants.
Okay, so, you know, everyone there had just a certain part of the clothes that they made.
Yes, you set your zipper and then you went on to side seaming.
Okay, now let's go back to the professional side now. What about this summer? You got any dates lined up where you're going to be performing places? Or?
No, we're free. Anybody needs us, just call us.
Well, okay, now let's go back for in the past before all the pandemic and stuff, some of the places that you and Joe have played with different people over the years that kind of stand out in your mind, Liz?
Well, we've not done a lot except the thing with the friends we have at Tompkinsville, but we'd meet up there every Tuesday night and we'd sing till that started, and then... Well, I've not got back into it. I think he has, but I've not got back into it yet.
Okay, what about Branstetter Park?
Oh, yes, I was there.
I see you didn't
say. Yeah, I was there, and I loved every minute of it. They said I liked that. They said I, when you stick a microphone in my hands, that I go wild.
And let's see, did you perform over at the Roly Hole Marble thing maybe 1 year or something?
No, I've never.
You know, y'all never have done that?
We did over there 1 year for something else, though.
Okay, that's some kind of a folklore festival,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, it was. Uh-huh.
So going back to old times then.
Let me sing over there as long as I wanted to till I got tired, and I never get tired singing.
They don't know you very well,
they don't know me.
And I, like you said, I know that... You guys, you get together and you perform. I know you did a thing for us down at the fair this year.
We did.
And, of course, we didn't think we were very successful. We didn't have a whole lot of people sitting out there. But the next day I found it with the folks sitting up there eating supper said, we enjoyed the music down there last night.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I was kind of disappointed.
No, basically everyone sitting up at the food tables, they were sitting there eating their food, and they said they could hear us loud and clear down there. So
most everybody can hear me because I'm loud to begin with. And I get a microphone and I'm loud.
And I know we'll be doing a little something maybe here again this Christmas, finally again for a while.
Oh, that would be great.
Hopefully.
I love that.
And you know, I don't know that there's a niche that you guys fall in, and sometimes that niche comes along and it's something you really don't want to get too involved in because it does get too involved.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time and... But I think, you know, you guys have the right idea. You come and perform. You enjoy what you do.
We do. We enjoy it. And anytime I'll call Joe and tell him that I'm doing anything, he'll come and go with me. And you want me to pull a number out of here? Okay?
Yeah, just don't look at it now. Just reach in there and get one. Well, looking down through our list, through our, like I said, our highly sophisticated non-computerized system, she has selected David and Carolyn Browning.
Well,
so,
happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary, and you can come over to the Dairy Queen and pick up one of those cards and take it over to Dairy Queen. And you really, truly, I guess, wouldn't have to buy a birthday cake, but I think most folks like those things well enough to purchase one of them things with that card. And with that, I think, Liz, we have about run out of time. And you were worried about having enough to say.
They told me not to worry because they said once I get started,
it's easier to get you started than stop. Is that what you're kind of saying?
All right, and thanks for having me.
And thank you for coming by. And with that, I guess it's time we get all the doors shut down in here. get everything gathered up and put away and tell you that we'll meet you again here next Thursday, same time, same channel, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And we hope to meet you again here next Thursday at 9 o'clock. And with that, good day, Clay County.